Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 267. Our God is all in all. His children cannot fear. See baseless evil fall and know that God is here. Hymn number 267. The scriptural will be given this morning by Imogene, now from New Jersey.
The Bible, Psalms. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Thou hast beset me behind and before. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 195. Not what I am, O Lord, but what Thou art, that alone can be my soul's true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart, and stills the tumult of my troubled breast. Hymn number 195.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin every Sunday morning here with our roundtable discussion at 10 a.m. And I am sorry to say that we had to cancel this morning's roundtable discussion, but we had a really good Bible study session yesterday. And if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. And we apologize that our website is not operating this morning. Our host is having difficulty, but we expect our website to be back up any moment now. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 every Sunday morning. And that Sunday school is available for children anywhere. Many of our students do not live in the area, but they attend via telephone through a dedicated teleconference number just for the Sunday school. So if you don't live in the area, but you have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend our Sunday school. Call us and we'll give you the number, and our teachers would be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives transformed and saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our meetings, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you do come, you can bring the whole family. We have, I believe, 17 different websites that contain the very finest Christian Science literature, where you can read, study, listen to some things, and download free of charge. And all of our websites are in different languages, and as a result, the pure truth of Christian Science is reaching people around the globe, in many cases in their own language. This is our missionary work, and we are very grateful for those of you who contribute financially that we can continue and maintain this important work. There's an article that's featured on our website that I would like to point out by Herbert W. Eustace, very fine old-time worker, entitled Alertness, which I found very arousing and very helpful and very timely. Alertness by Herbert Eustace. We also, I want to point out, have a separate website just for children. And that website contains the basics that every child should learn early on. And you can find that children's website by going to our English website, our main website, and go down to Quick Links, and you'll find the children's website there. Just click that on, and it will lead you to our children's website. And it's a great place for children to go to rather than playing video games. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying our Christian Science textbook. And this reading will be given this morning by Annie from Virginia.
From page 672, Health and Understanding Gained. Most of my boyhood days were spent in the hands of physicians. From birth, I was considered a very weakly child, but my mother was brave, and being much devoted to me, did everything within her knowledge and power for my comfort. Sickness and medicine were continually before me, and by the time I reached my teens, I thought I knew a material remedy for every ill. I continued in my delusion because I was never told the real cause of my trouble. Besides being under a leading specialist for 2 years, I was also an outdoor patient at a noted hospital, but I was not healed. It is wonderful how the little ones are cared for in the face of all these seeming difficulties. I always used the prayers that I had been taught, and as I grew older, I began to ask for wisdom. Little by little, I gained a desire for freedom, and my prayers finally led me to the truth. The first week that I heard of Christian Science, I visited the home of dear Christian Science friends and was at once refreshed by their purity of thought and example. I bought a copy of Science and Health, and after studying it a little while with the Bible, I saw that if the Bible was true, Science and Health must also be true. I began to demonstrate over my physical and mental condition, and as soon as the fear and pain began to leave me, I felt encouraged to go on. I was healed and stopped complaining. I kept on studying our textbook, and when I got an understanding and a small degree of the science of mind, my first thought was to help others. I was guided where I could progress in science and was no longer carried about with every wind of doctrine, but held to principle as closely as possible. From the time the healing came into my consciousness, the desire for material remedies left me, because Christian Science at once pointed out the way to get at the cause of discord and disease. All that I had to give up were the false beliefs of mortal mind. Christian Science then taught me to love the church and to appreciate what it had already done for mankind. I often thought of the old adage, charity begins at home. And after 3 years' preparation, I felt able to take Christian Science to my home, where it found, in due time, ready acceptance and willing disciples. This gave me even greater joy than my own healing. The more good I saw accomplished, the more love I had for the truth. Christian Science changed my course from the first and gave me a nobler aim and purpose in life. I was not so easily influenced by other people's shortcomings when I learned that evil has neither personality nor place. I was not so ready to take offense when I found out the way to work unselfishly for the upbuilding of the cause. A.E.J., Toledo, Ohio.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. We shall now read scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook. These comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts and their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 16 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, Soul and Body. The golden text is from Romans. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The responsive reading is from Matthew. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day.
Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.
But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Craig will now read.
The Bible. Psalms. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Genesis. And Jacob sent messages before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, and said, If Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau his brother. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he passed over before them, and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. Lamentations. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Isaiah. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. And if thy draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. 1 Thessalonians. I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Lenny from Georgia will now read.
I shall read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. God and soul are one, and this one never included in a limited mind or a limited body. Spirit is eternal, divine. Nothing but spirit, soul can evolve life, for spirit is more than all else. The divine mind is the soul of man and gives man dominion over all things. Man was not created from a material basis, nor bidden to obey material laws, which spirit never made. His province is in spiritual statutes, in the higher law of mind. Human thought has adulterated the meaning of the word soul through the hypothesis that soul is both an evil and a good intelligence, resident in matter. The proper use of the word soul can always be gained by substituting the word God, where the deific meaning is required. In other cases, use the word sense, and you will have the scientific signification. As used in Christian Science, soul is properly the synonym of spirit or God. But out of science, soul is identical with sense, with material sensation. Rightly understood, instead of possessing a sentient material form, man has a sensationless body. And God, the soul of man and of all existence, being perpetual in his own individuality, harmony, and immortality, imparts and perpetuates these qualities in man through mind, not matter. The only excuse for entertaining human opinions and rejecting the science of being is our mortal ignorance of spirit. Ignorance which yields only to the understanding of divine science. The understanding by which we enter into the kingdom of truth on earth and learn that spirit is infinite and supreme. Spirit and matter no more commingle than light and darkness. The soul-inspired patriarchs heard the voice of truth and talked with God as consciously as man talks with man. Jacob was alone, wrestling with error, struggling with a mortal sense of life, substance, and intelligence as existent in matter, with its false pleasures and pains, when an angel, a message from truth and love, appeared to him and smote the sinew or strength of his error, till he saw its unreality. And truth, being thereby understood, gave him spiritual strength in this pineal of divine science. Then said the spiritual evangel, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." That is, the light of truth and love dawns upon thee. But the patriarch, perceiving his error and his need of help, did not loosen his hold upon this glorious light until his nature was transformed. When Jacob was asked, "What is thy name?" he straightway answered, and then his name was changed to Israel, for as a prince had he prevailed and had power with God and with men. Then Jacob questioned his deliverer, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." But this appellation was withheld, for the messenger was not a corporeal being, but a nameless, incorporeal impartation of divine love to man, which, to use the word of the psalmist, restored his soul, gave him the spiritual sense of being, and rebuked his material sense. The result of Jacob's struggle thus appeared. He had conquered material error with the understanding of spirit and of spiritual power. This changed the man. He was no longer called Jacob, but Israel, a prince of God, or a soldier of God, who had fought a good fight. He was to become the father of those who, through earnest striving, followed his demonstration of the power of spirit over the material senses. And the children of earth, who followed his example, were to be called the children of Israel, until the Messiah should rename them. The understanding that the ego is mind, and that there is but one mind or intelligence, begins at once to destroy the errors of mortal sense, and to supply the truth of immortal sense. This understanding makes the body harmonious. It makes the nerves, bones, brain, etc., servants instead of masters. If man is governed by the law of divine mind, his body is in submission to everlasting life and truth and love. The great mistake of mortals is to suppose that man, God's image and likeness, is both matter and spirit, both good and evil. Soul has infinite resources with which to bless mankind, and happiness would be more readily attained and would be more secure in our keeping if thought and soul. Higher enjoyments alone can satisfy the cravings of immortal man. We cannot circumscribe happiness within the limits of personal sense. The senses confer no real enjoyment. The good in human affections must have ascendancy over the evil, and the spiritual over the animal, or happiness will never be won. The higher nature of man is not governed by the lower. If it were, the order of wisdom would be reversed. Our false views of life hide eternal harmony and produce the ills of which we complain. Because mortals believe in material laws and reject the science of mind, this does not make materiality first and the superior law of soul last. In viewing the sunrise, one finds that it contradicts the evidence before the senses to believe that the earth is in motion and the sun at rest. As astronomy reverses the human perception of the movement of the solar system, so Christian science reverses the seeming relation of soul and body and makes body tributary to mind. Thus it is with man, who is but the humble servant of the restful mind, though it seems otherwise to finite sense. But we shall never understand this while we admit that soul is in body, or mind in matter, and that man is included in non-intelligence. Soul or spirit is God, unchangeable and eternal, and man coexists with and reflects soul, God, for man is God's image. As human thought changes from one stage to another of conscious pain and painlessness, sorrow and joy, from fear to hope, and from faith to understanding, the visible manifestation will at last be man governed by soul, not by material sense.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let us now sing hymn number 32. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Brood o'er us with thy sheltering wing, neath which our spirits blend, like brother birds that soar and sing, and on the same branch bend. The arrow that doth wound the dove darts not from those who watch and love. Hymn number 32.
Thank you. have lost the awe of you. Have mercy, have mercy. Lord, cleanse our hearts which are divided. Stir the faith that we once knew.
Let's now sing hymn number 374. We thank thee and we bless thee, O Father of us all, that even before we ask thee, thou hearest thy children's call. We praise thee for thy goodness and tender, constant care. We thank thee, Father, Mother, that thou hast heard our prayer. Hymn number 374.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passage from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he was pure. Psalms. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Amen.